Now, moving on, communities in Yei, Lanya and Morobo will, over the next 2 weeks, see long-delayed justice finally move closer to home. A mobile court supported by ANMIS and other partners and implemented by the South Sudan's judiciary and the Ministry of Justice will today begin hearing dozens of serious cases. And these cases include sexual and gender-based violence, murder and other major offences.
Now, the initiative comes at a time when insecurity, weak investigation, and limited court infrastructure continue to hinder access to justice in the region. To help us understand what this mobile court aims to achieve and how it will serve survivors and communities, we're joined by Chief of Service in the Rule of Law and Security Institutions Support, Aniza Ahmed. Good morning, Aniza Ahmed. Thank you for joining us this morning. To start us off, with the mobile court, the mobile court begins work today, and it will serve Yei, Lanya, and Morobo. What justice gaps is the court stepping in to address?
Thank you very much for inviting me to the breakfast show. I'm a regular listener to your breakfast show, and it's really inspiring to hear important issues that are facing this country being discussed every morning.
Right.
Now, this mobile court is part of a series of efforts supported by UNMISS, but mainly led by the South Sudanese judiciary and the various justice actors to bring justice institutions to locations where the entire justice system is absent. Now, you must understand that to run a whole justice system, you need the full justice chain. You need a court, you need prosecutors, you need police, you need prisons, you need defense counsel, and of course, support services, and which, because of conflict and resource limitation, are not there in every part of the country.
Right.
So UNMISS, together with the justice institutions of South Sudan, brings together all the justice actors, takes them to a location, and ensure that the cases that are either pending or that have been waiting for a long time are properly investigated. And this is happening in Yei, but it has happened all over the country. We just finished a mobile court up in the north in Maban. And what will happen now is that a judge, prosecutor, defense counsel, police investigators will get together for 2 weeks in Yei to hear all these pending cases that were also investigated with the support of UNMISS last month.
Right. So ahead of the sitting, the team has already verified 46 cases, and these include serious offences. What does this case load tell us about the justice situation on the ground?
The caseload tells us about the fact that there has to be a permanent justice presence ultimately, because these cases, A, should not wait, and these serious cases should be addressed immediately rather than wait for a mobile court that comes from Juba. So I think the lesson learned is that all of us, international and national actors, get together to have the presence of the justice system across the country. But until that happens, it is important that there is a regular visits of these mobile courts in a rotational form so that the people have a predictability that even if justice is delayed, it will not be denied.
Well, some cases involve sexual and gender-based violence, many with underage survivors. How can they be supported and protected throughout this process?
So this is a very important thing. Unfortunately, there is a number of cases of sexual and gender-based violence. And unfortunately, these are against minors, which is an unfortunate reality. But ultimately, we have to face it. And the South Sudanese judiciary is making an attempt to face it. But what happens is that in all of these cases, invariably, the victims and witnesses are very vulnerable. The victim, the survivor, is a very young person, mostly a young girl, you know, who needs support through the process, because to go and give an evidence in the court is a very big deal for even an ordinary mature person, much less a person who's been subjected to serious sexual violence and when he or she is a minor.
Right.
So I think what we do is we provide these support services through NGOs who are specialists in providing support to victims and witnesses. So UNMISS supports all these organs of the justice institutions, from the judiciary to the prosecutors to the defense counsel and indeed to these support services, so that they provide in a very protective manner the support to the victim and witnesses to participate. Because ultimately, if the victim does not give evidence in the court, there'll be no justice.
That's true.
Because if the victim doesn't give evidence, the person will go scot-free.
Mm-hmm.
The truth needs to come out, and it only comes out from those who have either suffered or witnessed. And in a lot of cases, these sexual assaults happen in dark times, in locations which are isolated. As a result, the only available witness is the victim herself.
That's true.
And therefore, we should provide all the support to that victim so that he or she can come out without fear, without any pressure to come and give evidence so that justice is done.
Right. And speaking about the victim or the survivor, during community consultations, people raise concerns. And these concerns range from insecurity, stigma, and weak investigations. So how can this mobile court work around these challenges?
All that is true. You see, these things were coming out of the community. They were not being told by UNMISS, but we were observing it. So it was good that the community recognized and told its leaders that it needs regular justice presence. It needs support to victim communities so that they do two things. They come out and report and also become resilient to these kind of things. So the societies, women's networks, NGOs, and other networks of communities come together and resist or push back against such violence.
Mm.
So it's a work in progress. I mean, I don't want to make big claims that this will lead to the elimination of sexual and gender-based violence from Yei or indeed across the country.
Right.
But these are small steps. And I must also just take the name of countries that support us, because in the day and age of resource limitation, support of Norway to these mobile courts across the country is highly commendable. And I just want to add one more thing, if you allow me, colleagues,
yes, please.
Which is that we are just not doing civilian mobile courts, we are also doing mobile courts martial, because we saw that a number of times the crimes are with the involvement of those in uniform, those young people in uniform. And as a result, the military has taken the initiative to conduct these court martials across the country. Most recently was in Wau. The next one will be in Torit to ensure that those in uniform who have higher position in society and who have more power over others who are not in uniform also are seen to be facing justice for the crimes that they commit. And it is happy to note that the military leadership is itself supporting these efforts.
Now, the court is expected to also accept new cases from Yei, Lanya and Morobo. How important is this for people to take up this call and opportunity?
Yes, so this is what happens. When there is a court, a lot of people feel confident, but also get information that, yes, there is justice. So a lot of cases that had not been reported or that had been pending, because there is a presence of a judge, there's a presence of a prosecutor, an investigator, they go to the court and inform them of these crimes. Either they had not been informed, or if the cases had been opened, had not been fully prosecuted. So a lot of times new cases come up. So this figure that I told you of 46 may just increase. And we may have to extend the mobile courts stay over there. But that happens all the time. And we improvise as situation changes and develops.
Right. And I know earlier you said that it's courageous for the victims to come out and speak. And it's important that they come out to speak. And just because the hearing of the cases have been delayed does not mean that justice will not be served. Trust in legal and judicial systems can be quite delicate, Ahmed, where there are many challenges that we just earlier alluded. How do you see this mobile court helping rebuild that trust?
You see, this trust will be a long drawn process. Trust in institutions take decades to build and a day to destroy. And I think that's very important. So everyone in this country, including, of course, led by the judiciary and the justice actors, but indeed of all the civil society and those who are in power, should tell and show that justice, A, is independent, B, it is timely, C, it is visible, But D, most importantly, it is trustworthy so that people can entrust the decisions about their lives and livelihoods to that justice system with the hope that it will do justice. So it's a slow process, but I think the visibility makes a long, long help in this. Because if it is not visible, there are all sorts of assumptions. So when the mobile courts go around, they go on Radio Miraya, for example, it's talked about, people get that confidence. But as you very rightly said, trust is a very, very difficult commodity to build.
Mm. And finally, looking ahead, particularly in the context of uncertainty, do you think mobile codes should become medium to long-term solutions in remote areas, or they are more of a stopgap until permanent court return?
This is a very good point. UNMISS will not be here for too long. There are other actors who are supporting. UNDP is one. But ultimately, the solution is long-term, regular, sustainable, visible justice available to people at all times. So we are working through our quick impact projects to do that, to build courthouses, to build police stations, to build offices of the prosecutors, to build prisons, etc. But once again, in a country that has been ravaged by war and conflict, it's a slow process. Right. And of course, with these resource constraints, but it's happening. Ultimately, I just want to talk, allow me for 1 minute to talk about the concept of justice hubs that UNMISS is supporting. The idea of a justice hub is that we do not have to invest in a separate police station, a separate courthouse, a separate prosecutor's office. It will all be located in one location, either in one building or in one compound. And that by the SGBV court that was established in Juba with the assistance of UNMISS and UNDP and the government of Netherlands. As a result, all institutions, the court, the police, the prosecution, the prison, they're all there in one location in Juba. And we're trying to transplant this across the country, especially by having a model justice hub so that a citizen doesn't have to go anywhere but just one location, so that all his or her legal needs are addressed by people sitting at one location.
Right.
Or even information about what I can do with the justice system.
Right. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Anis Ahmed, we do appreciate your time. And Anis Ahmed is a Chief of Service, Rule of Law and Security Institution Support Section, sharing with us insights of the mobile court that will be happening in Yei, Lanya and Morobo. And in the next 2 weeks, those people there will be seeing long-delayed justice finally move closer to home. And there's a probability that the court might extend depending on what they find on the ground. Now, if you have a strong